Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Can you hear me, Paul?
I can. And I can't believe who you brought in here today.
You know, I asked for a specific request before I got here. A specific request. One thing I asked you for. Do you have it ready for me?
I have it ready for you,
sir. Well, you know,
sir.
Can you give it to me already?
Give it to him. Give it to him. Good.
I asked for one thing. I can't get one thing.
Oh, hey. I told you to whack him out. You didn't do what you were supposed to do.
Vito, you broke my heart.
Yeah, you broke my neck one time. I remember that.
Hey, okay, so since we're setting the mood here.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, you can't believe who I brought in with me today. I brought in with me the Godfather himself. The Godfather of fashion. The Godfather of clothes. I don't know what other hashtags we can claim, but we're working on it. Mr. Dave Welsh, the guru, Bespoke.
You know what he is? He's the guru of moolah.
Ooh. The guru of moolah?
That's
more
part
moolah.
Of is that a dance you do? The moolah?
The moolah, no. So, and then with the Godfather, never leaving the home without the God, without him, is the consigliere.
Yeah. I back him up when he misses.
when he misses.
How often he's a bad shot.
How often does he miss?
Twice a day. And he shoots once a day. That's the problem.
Hey, you know, consigliere, I don't know if our audience can see it, but he did miss something. You missed something this morning. You're going to be in trouble when you get back to the house.
Why, is there a horse in my bed?
What happened? No, he missed putting his socks on.
Oh, that's okay. They get in a lot of hot water. Sometimes you got to take the socks off to let them
business
dry.
Business has been tough. He can't afford a pair of socks.
So
it gets hot in Jersey.
In Jersey.
It's a human.
Or Orange County.
It's not a human, Dad.
Around Red Hill.
My grandma says it's humid in Boca.
Okay, so
you know the consigliere.
So you know what? I can't believe I brought these two into the studio.
The consigliere looks the part, but I tell you, the other guy, he doesn't look like a Godfather.
Yeah, we're working on him.
It's okay because looks can be deceiving. Okay. So without further ado, my guests today are two friends of mine and really great guys, and they have been behind the scenes on some of the shows that we've been doing that have been brought to you by Bespoke. Website is bespokestyle.com. And these guys are awesome gentlemen. They are amazing at what they do professionally. They have such a depth of background at what they do that it is so natural that we just forget about it.
That's my line. You forget about it.
Okay. Get him a lozenge, will you?
Okay. Hey, you're making fun of the way I talk.
Yeah, I am.
Vinny will be visiting you later.
Whatever. You know,
he's got a little something.
Whatever.
For you.
So, a couple of years ago, this gentleman over here, the Godfather, and the reason I call him the Godfather is because he can make you a suit you cannot refuse. He reached out to me on social media, and we connected, and we've been good friends since. And it's just their operation is amazing. They as people are amazing. You know, it's almost like a cliche that you do business with people that you like, or you engage with people that you spend time with that you like. This is very, very true in this case with both these guys, and they both know each other for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So without further ado, I really want to get people on a little bit of the background on this story. Bespoke, again, the website is bespokestyle.com, so go check it out. It's amazing men's clothing.
And spell Bespoke.
Bespoke is spelled Bespoke. There is no E after the first B.
Is there a dot there? B dot or just
no,
B?
not on the domain name. The website is bespokestyle.com, and the word comes from bespoke.
The spoke, yeah.
Which is what, Dave?
So according to the story, back in old England times, all the tailors had the fabrics in their shop. Mm-hmm. And a customer would come in, they would pick a fabric. Mm-hmm. And using the old English, yep, that not all those words have translated to modern speak, they used to write on a ticket, bespoken for Rod.
As an ordered for, or
like, and you were bespeaking for, yeah, it meant, hey, I'm picking that. That's that for me. Mm-hmm. They're making it. And over time and over the evolution of words, that word kind of came out of our common language but morphed into a verb.
And we kind of use, it's the equivalent of saying like custom order.
Exactly.
Right.
And nowadays, there's people are using it in other industries to kind of speak about what they do custom for their customers. So like bespoke mortgage, bespoke capital assets. Basically, you're creating bespoke interior design. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where the word came from. I couldn't get that E on a domain name, so I just popped the E out and replaced it with a period.
You know, I will tell you, though, I think as overused almost, the word has become now as sort of a trend. Oh, we don't want to say custom. We'll just say bespoke, and we'll spell it B-E-S-P-O-K-E. And then, you know, to your point, like interiors, you know, furniture, whatever, I actually think you lucked out on having the spelling be the way it is without the E.
Makes it a little unique.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It brands it on its own, and then having that little dot in there and with your custom color, that orange. Do we have actually a name for that orange? Is it actually just...
Bespoke orange.
Bespoke yes. orange. Yes. You know, you set him up and he takes the shot. Yeah. He didn't miss on that one. Hey, what's that?
He's a better shot with his mouth than with his guns. Okay.
Yeah. That's why he's got you.
Yeah. Hey, okay. Yeah. I pick up the slack.
So you guys, how long have you had Bespoke?
The Bespoke location in Costa Mesa has been open. We're entering our fourth year.
Okay.
We've been in business for 6.
So you've been in business for 6 years. You've had a physical location for 4
Correct.
In Costa Mesa.
Correct.
What's the address? Give people the address.
3151 Airway Avenue, Suite Q2.
Q is for Queenie. No, but it's right. It's right down by the Lion Air Museum, and it's actually a very cool spot. We love it. We on the inside refer to it as the clubhouse because it really is very, very fun, very friendly. We just rolled in a barber chair.
Rolled in a barber chair, yeah.
Shout out to Gorky.
He's a barber now.
So today's Wednesday. Thursdays, we got a master barber that is going to be manning the chair, and you can get the chair on Thursdays at Bespoke. So check them out. Do we have the app up already on booking or
it's
not?
It's going up shortly.
There will be an app for booking for straight razor cuts or trims, straight razor shaves. By Gorky Valcone, and you really get a chance to also check out the space. So 4 years open, you've been in business as Bespoke for 6. You guys have a history that goes back way longer than that. Mm-hmm. So we'll give a little background.
That's sure. obvious. A few dead bodies along the way here.
Check the 91 south side of the street.
You know, before the fast lanes went in.
You'll see a couple of speed bumps along the way.
Those aren't speed bumps.
Well, they're not? No. They are now.
Bada boom.
Bada bing.
Okay. So how far back do you guys go?
You know, it's funny. The backstory for sure is my wife, Kim, worked at Nordstrom's. So Dan's backstory is spent 28 years at Nordstrom's in Brea.
Yeah.
And my wife, Kim, before we were married, actually had done some seasonal work, I believe, Dan, at Nordstrom's. And she had known of Dan. And, you know, when you're Dan Faith in the Brea Nordstrom, he was the man.
You know, I just realized.
He was the godfather of Nordstrom's Brea.
No,
really.
The king of clothing.
You know what I realized is, Dave? Dan Faith. You'd think his last name is spelt F-A-I-T-H, except he's got an E in the end of his name. So guess where your E from your Bespoke went?
Yeah. There you go.
It ended up on his...
I'm borrowing it for a while, a lifetime of mine.
He holds the E for you.
When I expire one day, I'll give it back to you.
So, Dan, how did you meet this guy? Through his wife.
Why, you mean?
Shout out to Kim, by the way. Hi, Kim.
Yeah.
His better half.
We actually didn't meet through her, but... Oh. Kind of in hindsight, realized that she had obviously known Dan.
Oh, okay.
And I'll let Dan take over.
So, Dan, who are you?
What voice do you want now?
Whichever one you're comfortable with.
Yeah. Yo, Adrian, I want to tell you.
No.
That's not it? Why not? You stink, Polly. All right.
Sly.
Sly and the Family Stone. So, ironically enough, I lived in Anaheim Hills.
Yeah.
And I knew of Dave, but I haven't met him formally. And then I knew of Kim. And so I decided to move to Yorba Linda after several years in Anaheim Hills. And when I was moving into my new place, I was outside kind of getting my junk all set up. And I look across the street and I see a gal that looked familiar, but I'm like, nah, it couldn't be. And I said, your name isn't Kim, is it? She goes, yeah. I'm like, I'm Dan Faith, the one king of clothing. Yeah. You got to know me. But anyway, so we started talking, and so happens that I moved in across the street from Dave in Yorba Linda.
How funny.
And we became, you know, we just talked shop, and we hung out, and never drank anything, right,
How
Dave?
How funny.
Never drinking.
No drinking.
Not in the glass.
The clubhouse is a dry place.
Straight from the bottle.
Yeah, straight from the bottle. Straws not included. So anyway, Dave and I would go back and forth, you know, he'd come to my house, we'd talk shop, I'd go to his house, we'd talk shop, and then just kind of kept in touch, and then so Dave moved first out of his place, and I moved about another year later, I moved out of my place, and we just kind of lost track of each other for a few years, you know, he went off and did something, and I was still,
Were you still at Nordstrom?
I was still at Nordstrom. Mm-hmm.
And what were you doing, Dave?
I was working for a company that had just recently got some private equity company or money investment, and they had a plan to kind of take over the world.
Okay.
And I had recently joined them.
Okay.
And I could see pretty soon that that plan to take over the world was
not gonna happen.
Falling short.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of plotting my next move, and had kind of this idea for Bespoke about creating a place that was comfortable, that people wanted to show up and hang out in, and really build clothing and wardrobes that just make people feel great, get tons of compliments.
Compliments waiting to happen.
Exactly. And having just a relationship behind that.
Yeah.
And just not going into a store and making it transactional. So I'll let Dan continue, but that's kind of where I was at the point. And then we kind of just drifted once we moved away from each other. And at the time, too, as funny as I had always jokingly said to Dan, hey, come over to the dark side and do custom clothing. But at that time, he was just so happy at Nordstrom's.
Right.
He was, you know, he was the man there and had a great business. And you know, everything in life is timing.
Right.
And the timing just wasn't right.
Right.
And then that's kind of where.
So what caused the timing to be right?
He owed me money, and I finally got him to pay up.
Yeah. That's why he moved.
He kept moving. I kept following him. It was interesting because I was really set in retiring with Nordstrom, and I was there 27 years. I enjoyed the ride. It was an amazing place to work. You know, I just had a great following. Clientele was amazing. I knew the families and the grandmothers and the kids, and it was just a big family. It was just a great. Great program for me with Nordstrom for so many years. And then towards the end of my career with Nordstrom, you know, I was thinking, what would I do if I happened to leave Nordstrom? And I was kind of pondering what I might think about doing if I had to leave Nordstrom eventually. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, I get a call from my buddy Dave Welch. And he's like, dude, where have you been? And I'm like, well, I've been looking for you, of course. And he goes, we got to meet for lunch. I got a great idea, you know, and I thought, well, you know, listen to my boy. So we met up for lunch and started chit-chatting about his idea. And he started kind of just, everything started making sense to me, you know. It's a great plan. He said, you know, hey, if you're not going to be included and I'm not doing it. So there was a little bit of pressure, too, mind you.
Break your legs.
But he's the godfather.
Yeah, no, he worried me a little bit. Mm-hmm. I wet my pants a couple times. I was scared.
Too much information.
That's why I wear a diaper now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? Way too much information.
Diaper Dan.
But Diaper Dan, he's got the plan, Diaper Dan. If he can't do it, no, he can't. Anyway.
So did you guys start off like, when you said you've been in business 6 years, but you've only been in the location for 4 years, how did you operate for 2 years?
Out of my house.
Okay.
So the initial kind of base of our business, especially when you're doing custom clothing, a lot of guys get started working out of their home.
Right.
And we would see the client at their home or office. Mm-hmm. And that was... It was a great perk for a lot of businessmen, but it meant that we're on the road constantly back and forth.
You don't have a base of operations.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I was working out of the house. My goal would ultimately be to build a showroom. And I really had to sell Kim on it as well. It's a very scary thing to go from zero overhead to $10,000 in overhead.
Sure.
And so really had to work on that. And we felt like we needed to make that jump. Also, to have Dan come aboard, you know, most of his clients were used to going to a place.
Right.
So I didn't think that Dan was now going to turn into a mobile clothier like I was.
No, you're right. Right.
So we really felt like we needed a space.
It's true.
Because I was bootstrapping it, couldn't afford, you know, kind of high end retail. The space turned out perfect for a couple reasons. Is one, you know, and Dan can talk a little bit about it, was I think the challenge at Nordstrom was quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really felt Bespoke had to offer, too, is He didn't have to work every weekend if he didn't want to. He didn't have to work every holiday.
Right, he didn't have to deal with that retail
component. 27 years, he worked the 2 days after Thanksgiving, probably 20 hours each day, or the days after Christmas.
Right.
He had a tough, long, stressful time, especially during holidays and sale times. And so we didn't have that, but I felt like that was something that at least offered light at the end of the tunnel, because Dan had grinded it out. I mean, you don't get to be the king of Brea,
you know,
for working 4 hours
in the country, Dave.
Yeah,
please.
That's true. Sorry,
Brea's. I paid you that. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it's very, very commendable and very admirable. There's a lot of respect for that. Dan, that's people that don't do retail don't know what goes with retail. I mean, for you to do that for 20 years and at that level. I mean, kudos, seriously. And I'm actually very, very happy to hear this, Dave, because it sounds like from the very beginning, you were looking at sort of a mixture that actually represents the brand very well, as far as Bespoke goes, but it also included the employees and the quality of life. It wasn't just the product that you were putting on somebody. Mm-hmm. It was actually the employees and the people that are working there. And that translates. I mean, anybody walks into your space, you guys, I mean, you feel it. You feel it from everybody. You feel it from Blake, from Melissa, from Taylor. I mean, everybody projects that same thing. And so it's smart business, too, because if you don't happen to be there, then that same consistency is there from anybody else who touches or is in contact with a client.
Right.
I mean, Sedar, and it's across the board. It's very admirable. Anybody who hasn't had a chance to walk in there, come meet these guys and check out the operation for yourselves, you'll be very impressed.
It's a fun place to work and a fun place to cater to our clients. They're not real sure when they walk into the establishment. Because they're coming in a kind of our industrial little area. We have our sign out there, which is beautiful. They walk in and they just kind of like their jaw drops. I mean, they see the...
Well, there's no expectations, right, from the street. Right.
What do you see? Somebody wanted to tweet it. So what do you see when you go in? What's different about this space and place?
What's really unique about it is that it's a colorful environment. We have all the perks of, kind of more of like a man cave would be for the guys. We have a full stock bar. If you guys want to have a cocktail, a beer, a glass of wine, they can come and play a game of pool. They can watch the football game there. We have a big screen TV.
Now there's a barber chair, too.
Got a barber chair. Mm-hmm. You get the chair. Does electricity extra for the chair?
Electricity.
depends if they pay the bills or not. If they don't, then we're throwing the electricity.
I got a few guys I want to put in the chair so bad. I can't tell you.
Every Thursday, you can get the chair.
Yeah, we have is it Friday?
Thursday.
Fridays?
Frying Fridays.
Fridays.
Special upper.
Right.
So do people literally come and just hang out and not buy anything?
Well, we don't let that happen. We'll take a leg off or something before they leave.
But I mean, they just, because I'm used to a store, Nordstrom, beautiful store. I go in, nice experience.
Sure.
But I go in, I transact my business, and I leave.
Yeah,
stay around Nordstrom and hang out.
Right. Yeah, right. Well, we do have a lot of guys that like to kind of, they come in with the thought of coming in and getting some clothing, and we build in some great looks for them. And once they enjoy a cocktail and get relaxed and see the TV going, they kind of want to hang out. So we let them kind of hang out with us and enjoy the environment. We build some looks for them. We converse with them. I do a little tap dance. It's great.
I mean, what's funny about this is, we're talking about 4 years, 6 years that you had this idea, but it hasn't been that long for people to realize that, retail is failing. Commercial spaces are failing because of a lack of experiential. Mm-hmm. And yet you built in that in from day one. And it was driven not just by sort of an aha moment about how to reinvent retail, but it also was about quality of life. It was about the people that you wanted to draw in. The people that you guys are working with, I mean, that also, there's a sort of a consistency of personality. And I don't know whether it's the nurture or nature, whether it's the space itself that starts shaping them a little bit like that. But there's a consistency, and people show up. And your location, how did you even find that location? It's right off Red Hill.
Well, one plug, actually, go back to the experiential, was as I was just brainstorming this idea, there's a great book out there for any entrepreneurs that are listening called The Experience Economy.
Yes.
And it's a great book, talks about three or four companies that really, one of them was Build-A-Bear, and I had been sucked in a few times with my daughters.
Build-A-Bear.
And before you know it, you're spending $120 on a teddy bear that you could probably get for 12 at Walmart, but it was the experience. And so I really wanted the experience of our store to draw people back to say, wow, that isn't what I expected, but I loved it. Or going back to that tweet, someone said, what's it like? You know, we're kind of in a no, I mean, there's nothing really fancy about our business park. And so when you're driving around, it just kind of looks like every other business park out there. And so when you walk in the doors, I feel that it's decorated very comfortably, very stylish, but it's also has a home feel. It's not snobby. We really wanted people to feel comfortable there.
Yeah, it's not intimidating at all, actually.
And going back to that Nordstrom's experience, again, Dan could probably tell you this. You know, many times no one booked appointments at Nordstrom's, and sometimes he would be working with a client, and he might have four or five other people, like, mad-dogging him stare because they want to be next.
Yeah.
And Dan has to rush or maybe be a little bit quick because he sees another client behind him, And what was great about our unique experience was Dan could book appointments. Mm-hmm. He could take 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever the client would allow to not only do the transaction, but also spend time getting to know the client, asking him questions about his family. I mean, Dan's an amazing relationship
builder,
clothier.
Yeah.
And that was what was really great about it, and it gave him peace of mind.
It's very personal, right? I mean, you get to that point where you're dressing somebody. It is somewhat of a personal experience, and it can be very kind of off the shelf, if you will. But it can also be very custom if you go there, and if you're comfortable building that kind of relationship, it's also smart business. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Paul?
I am struck by the fact that you threw out this word, the experience economy, because we just had an author in here in the studio a couple of weeks ago, and he gave this example. He said, we've gone through four phases. I had to write this down. I was so moved by it. He said, let's say you want a cake.
Yep.
Okay. In the old days in the agrarian economy, you went out, you gathered the field, gathered the grain, and you baked a cake. In the industrial age, somebody made a cake mix for you.
Yep.
It was pre-done. You went and got it. In the service age, you went to a bakery and somebody baked that for you. Now in the experience economy, you go to Chuck E. Cheese or someplace else. You want more than just the cake. You want the whole birthday experience, right?
So the experience economy, because I've been saying the following words for almost 20 years. I've been saying we don't design interiors, we design experiences.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
The experience economy has been going on for a long time for anybody who's been smart enough to pay attention to it. What's interesting now is everybody's trying to grasp onto the experience economy, and it's almost become like bespoke as a word, B-E-S-P-O-K-E, or custom. Okay, it's become almost generic to say it's experience, it's this. In order for you to deliver on a genuine, deep, layered experience, it is a very sophisticated process. Just like with these gentlemen and what they do is being very sophisticated. It looks very simple. It looks very personal. It looks very easy. But there's a lot that goes into it. And the depth of that time that you guys have spent working in this industry, it shows every single time I deal with anything with you guys, I can tell. Because this isn't somebody that just started yesterday and wrapped themselves in something called experience. You want to talk about where we are today, Paul, as an industry, or where we are in a cycle, if you will? We're in a creative economy. And the problem is nobody's really embracing the creative economy because it's scary as hell to basically put yourself out there in that point of vulnerability and being creative. These guys do it all the time. When Dave reached out to me a couple of years ago, I don't know whether I was just sassy or lazy. Okay,
but I alternate between
sassy and lazy. It works well for me, right? But I remember it was about the same time I started doing the show. And it was within that sassy and lazy. Okay, but within the 6 month period that I refer to when I turned 50, and I laugh and I go in retrospect, I look back and I said I was Jim Carrey for 6 months, and I said yes to everything, right? Paul Roberts over here says, "Hey, you want to do a radio show about baby boomers?" Yeah. I said, "Sure." I have no idea what I'm doing, but yes,
let's do it.
Dave Welch reaches out and says, "Hey, you want to be an ambassador?" I said, "Sure."
Fashion show model.
No. You blindsided me with the fashion show model.
You remember when I asked you for $1,000? You didn't say sure.
He didn't. That was when I was waiting for my pants in the fashion show, when I was walking around with my ass.
Always a good time to ask for money.
But seriously, he's like, you want to be an ambassador? I mean, I came across that picture from 2016 the other day. I was like, I'm standing there. He's measuring me for the first time. And then he goes, okay, so let's pick fabrics. And I said, you remember? I said no. I said you want to do this? Okay, fine. Then you pick the fabrics for me. And he did. And I think I have only picked one thing, probably, like that gray Heather Gray sport coat is the only thing that I ever.
So you make a good point, and I'm thrilled that you brought these guys in here because I keep hearing about them from other people coming in on our show. That's something that doesn't happen a lot. We have other show hosts. I didn't even know you guys are all connected. Bart Zandbergen, for example, does a show here, and he comes in dressed like red. And I'm like, where are these guys getting all this clothes here? There's a style that I'm seeing here.
Yeah, but I don't pick my fabrics. So I have a trust relationship. He picks my fabrics.
But talk about that, because I think these...
I would have never picked watermelon. That was like the first thing watermelon. He puts me in. I was like, you know what? If you had me at watermelon, David.
It was in season at the time, so you're fine.
But talk about that, because what I'm gathering, I remember Bart talking about this, and I'm obviously, you guys look at me, I'm not a style icon here. A style is something I miss. But you guys...
Hold on there. Cargo pants will be back.
Yeah, I hope so, because I got a ton of them.
Dave's like, no.
I would like to hear you guys talk about the experience of... fashion, experience of finding a personal style, because I gather it's more than just a cool looking place I want to go hang out.
I'm going to flip it around a little
bit. There is something cool about the experience of buying clothes and being fitted.
Yeah, but I'm going to flip it around because who we have here today is actually the people on the other side. I want to find out more. How do people find you?
Well, yeah, that's...
Like, how do you... Because it's not a walk-in. Like, I'm not walking into a storefront. If I know it's there, maybe I would do that. But how do people find you?
It's not a mall where there's traffic coming through.
You know, and you guys do have some, quote-unquote, open houses, like with events and stuff. Mm-hmm. But how do people find you? I mean, I'm assuming word of mouth is a big part.
Right.
Right?
I think especially for Dan, and Dan can talk a little bit more about this, but what I have been amazed even more... I had heard that Dan was great at customer service.
Yeah.
But actually working day in and day out with him, I realized just how much he truly cares about his clients, really getting to know them and personal effects. And so what I felt, not only word of mouth is fantastic, because as you know, I think what Dan and I tend to do is push a guy into maybe some patterns or colors or things that are a little bit different that maybe they're not going to find at Nordstrom's or they're not going to find in the malls. And it's those patterns that tend to generate the comments or the compliments from other people. Oh my God, where'd you get that?
And how do you decide on that, Dave? I mean, you got people coming in with different personalities. When do you know that you're going to go? Because, I mean, obviously everybody's comfort level is somewhat different, right?
Yeah.
As far as from
a risk. They told me they have a people palette. They hold it up to you and they say, okay, he's one of these guys.
You want to be the one look like this guy?
No, I'm genuinely serious, because I encounter the same thing with interior design. Everybody comes in and says, I want to do the greatest, the latest, whatever, right? And then when you start digging really deep and start spending some time with them, you realize that their comfort level is not maybe exactly where they thought it was going to be.
Sure.
Well, first, I mean, if you don't mind me stepping in here.
Yeah.
But my first point of, reacting with the client is sitting down with them at a table, getting to know them, their personality, what they do for a living, are they coming in for a special event item? Yeah. Are they wearing suits every day for work? Kind of a special occasion. Uh-huh. And then kind of adapting to more of the more of their personality. I'm not gonna take a guy that's, super conservative and put him in just crazy edgy stuff, because it probably wouldn't be his comfort zone. But I would like to get him in, a little more in a modern traditional looks that he's not used to getting. And so the beautiful thing about our operation is that, there's so many choices of fabrics and styles, and we offer everything to these guys. And then, we kind of help them, guide them along, actually, and help them choose the proper look for their personality.
Walk me through the experience of that, because that means something to you guys. You've been through it. I don't know what the experience of creating a fashion. Fashion to me is I pull it off the rack. Oh, it looks good. I go buy it. That's it. There's no experience to clothing me.
Well,
fashion police are looking for you.
Yes. Well, let's add to that the element of components and the component system.
Sure. Yeah,
because I know that's part of what you guys do. So,
well, personally, I mean, I like to share with the client of how many opportunities they have with, like, let's say, one 3-piece suit with the direction they can take that. And now that component dressing
the
component dressing is really popular now. It's not so matchy-matchy now. Everything's kind of like, just a little bit, get a little more adventurous with your idea of clothing. You can take a 3-piece suit, take the jacket, in some cases wear it as a sport jacket. Take the vest and wear the pair of jeans. Take the pants and wear with the casual dress shirt. So you know, you can take a three-piece suit and kind of maybe get like four, five, six outfits out of one, you know, one component.
And do you feel do you find that a lot of people don't really have that instinctively when they walk in?
Well, they definitely don't know for sure. It'd be like you showing paint colors and tile, and you know exactly how it's going to look, and they don't. And so I think Dan and I have been doing this for so long, we can look at a pattern and go, oh, my God, it's going to look great as a jacket. Mm-hmm. And so many of these clients are going to have to trust us. But going back to Dan's point, the blue jacket that I'm actually wearing is part of a three-piece suit, and the light gray pants that I'm wearing is part of a three-piece suit. And so I can mix and match. I can also wear this with denim.
Yep.
I can wear the vest with denim. So going back to Dan's conversation about with his clients is really opening up those ideas of, hey, you're not just buying one item. You're not buying a three-piece suit. You're buying 6, 7, 8, 10 possible ways to wear that. But I did want to talk about the experience. There's really two experiences. One, his experience of coming into the store, Dan's going to get to know them or get to know him. He's going to ask him a ton of questions about his life. Let's say he wants to buy a garment. You know, given his height and in decent shape, he might not be able to walk.
He can
into
come
the
back
store.
Again. He talked yes, about decent shape.
Decent shape, yeah.
Are we talking about
he's
the
sitting
same
down. I can't, he's sitting down. I can't tell. But, you know, walking into Nordstrom's, he might have 5 or 6 different things to pick from, yeah. Maybe 10 or 12, whatever. Yeah. We're going to pick something exactly for him. Dan's going to find the perfect fabric. We're going to style it uniquely. We're going to ask him questions. He might say, I don't even know what I want. You guys do it. We have clients do that all the time.
And can I stop you for 1 second? Because yeah. One of the things you did point out, I'm tall. I'm 6'4". And one of the struggles I've had, I have a 37-inch sleeve length.
Yeah.
Go find a 37-inch sleeve length thing. So I've lived my whole life in short sleeves or rolled up sleeves simply because I can't buy a sleeve that's long enough. So early on, I realized I couldn't. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't be in fashion. I could wear fashionable clothes because I was out of the norm, the range that people did. So I quickly gave up and said, "The hell with
no,
that."
I'm just floored. I mean, you know, my jaw is at the table.
You
and
actually,
I'm basically
knew
just
something
gleefully
you
smiling
did.
Because Mr. Paul Roberts actually talking length of arm and rolling up sleeves.
I think he knows more than what he's telling
us. Oh, my God.
My dad was of the World War II generation, the Rat Pack era. He was a very stylish executive for Chrysler Corporation. Had lots of custom clothes and wore them well and enjoyed the whole experience of creating the clothes and getting dressed.
I'm hearing a cry for help.
He tried to take me out as a youth, as a teenager.
Dan, hand him your card.
And I said, you know, this isn't for me. I don't fit. I'm outside the norm. And I came from the baby boom generation, which was anti-generation, ripped jeans, you know, army jackets.
I have a card for you.
So I really am curious how this has come back in style, how men's fashion have regained the notion that men should look good and sharp, not just okay. And this anti-fashion world that I lived through in the 60s and 70s has gone away.
Yeah, but go ahead,
sorry.
Ben.
The transition from the 70s was just a darling time for clothing, wasn't it? Those big bell bottoms,
yeah,
polyester pants.
I had them all.
Angel Flights, remember those? Yeah. I had every color in them. I wore them to sleep.
There's pictures on Facebook. Dan Faith at Facebook. Yeah. .com, you'll see all the pictures you want.
Yeah, I had what not
to do.
I had a rust, a kind of velour jumpsuit or something.
Yeah, that's called ultra suede.
Okay.
Flammable, by the way.
So to that point, what do you think it is, guys? I mean, you're the ones dealing with. What is it that has happened that's changed? Answer Paul's question.
Right.
Well, we haven't answered. Let me
finish the experience. Yeah.
So he comes in, Dan asks, like, what? When you go to Nordstrom's, you go to any other store, you're not getting this level of consultation.
No, so definitely not.
The experience is Dan's going to ask you 20 questions on your lifestyle, colors you like, whatever.
Or to make it for me rather than me having to fit into what's
correct.
Already been made.
Right.
We're going to measure you. We're going to get your exact measurements. You're going to be able to pick all the details, pick your linings, buttons, whatever. You're going to come back for a fitting, you know, about 5 weeks later, we have a tailor there. It's going to be doing all the alterations and finish work. So you're going to not only walk out of there with a garment that's going to fit you better than you've ever had, but you're also, Dan's going to show you 3, 4, 5 different ways to wear those garments, maybe as a component system. And so then the experience of wearing those clothes that we just made you, once you get off into your life, that's when the magic happens, because you're gonna walk into an event and people go, oh my God, you look amazing, or you just start getting compliments. I had a client the other day. He goes, you know, when I walk into a boardroom, I feel 2 inches taller.
Yeah,
and that's the experience. And what I've tried to do with our clients is really educating them, is that you're not buying clothes from us. You're buying what those clothes do for you. Mm-hmm. I remember listening to Zig Ziglar talked years ago about, you really got to figure out what is the product of your product. And our product is clothing, but the end product of that is clients feel more confident when mm-hmm. they wear the clothes. They get more compliments. They feel better. I had a wife text me and said, oh my God, I love what you made for Bob. You know, I can't wait to take him out, and we're going to go on this cruise together. That's the product of our product.
And so, in a world where everybody's focusing on branding and telling authentic stories, who you are, who the brand is, what your story is, isn't clothing then part of that story and your personal brand? It's by that presence?
If you are genuinely focusing
yeah.
and willing to do the depth on layering to
talk
get
about
there
that,
to the authenticity.
Because otherwise it just feels false. I just put something on and
authenticity,
I dress
if
up.
If it's only sizzle, it's not authenticity. That's just sizzle. Okay, there's no steak to it. Okay,
but that's the way clothes always felt to me. It just felt like a false presence I put on. It wasn't me.
You don't even realize that you touched on something yeah. in the way that you were describing this, okay, that is exactly to what Dave was saying, okay? You said that you walk in and you want basically something that fits you versus you fitting it.
Yeah, I always felt like I had to fit into what they wanted.
So guess what? Take the clothes component out of it, okay?
Right.
You are basically rebelling against the fact that societally, whatever, in this particular case, clothing, is making you conform to something that may not be an exact tailoring of who you are.
Bingo.
Rather than having that skin that you put on.
And my whole generation is anti-conformist. You know,
Dr.
we're all.
Show.
Why didn't he do us? He knows about
well,
it.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly. Yeah. But you yeah. know, you're joking. No, he's joking about the doctor about the therapy or the nonconformist. Yes, you are a nonconformist baby boomer.
Right,
and yet. You are basically willing, okay, to settle for whatever you can put to garb on you rather than to actually have something that is a reflection of who you internally really are at that point in your
Maybe
life.
He doesn't know who he is.
These people right here, these gentlemen right here, are the conveyors, the alchemists to make that happen.
Can you spell that?
Yeah.
You have,
I just
you have really,
to you.
You, really hit on, you have really hit on something deep and real. And I'm as much as I'm kidding aside, you got it. Because I rebelled against fitting into other people's styles, into clothes that didn't fit me, into trying to dress
like my dad. You rebelled against fitting against,
so
into
I just
people's
went the
expectations.
Other way. Yeah, so I went
into,
the other way.
Into how society said you needed to be.
I'll just throw any old thing on and that'll be
Paul,
me.
Paul, yeah. It's one thing to feel marvelous, but to look marvelous, darling. You will look marvelous.
Well,
come see me.
Career.
You, I will make you look so good
marvelous.
That you can leave the house without being attacked by 20
guarantee. But it takes courage.
Yes.
To seek out alchemy,
to seek out
to
health.
Transform coal into gold.
Ooh.
Wow! Okay. It's getting deep, Dave. Wow. Can you handle this stuff? I don't know, man.
You're really onto something.
The reason why I'm sharing this in this manner is because to Dave's point, to my own call it experience that was completely happenstance, happy accidents with my relationship with Dave as it started, is I always refer to this in a sort of a joking manner by the fact that I don't pick my fabrics and stuff like that. At this point, it isn't even about not picking my fabrics. It's about not wanting to pick my fabrics, because part of my relationship with Dave is the pleasantry of the surprise for me. Is I want to basically say, hey, go for it. Okay? Surprise me. Right? And I would have never picked, it's not that I shy away from colors, but I would have never picked that watermelon. Like, and I keep referring to that watermelon. It's kind of a funny reference point. But truly, okay, he... Maybe not having a depth of biasness because our relationship was relatively new.
I threw a dart on that fellow.
Oh, you did? Okay, fine. All right. Ignore everything I just said for the last 10 minutes.
Blindfolded. Boom.
It was for like, somebody else. You know, I got this schmata over here. Maybe I'll do a jacket for it.
But what is it about? Go to the generational thing. So I'm a generation who's anti-fashion, anti-conformist, and therefore we threw all fashion aside. We don't have a fashion. Now, all of a sudden, I look at my
Is that why Abbie Hoffman basically stood there with a flag shirt? I mean, come on. You didn't throw fashion aside. Well, you convinced yourself that you were being anti-conformist, but then everybody friggin' wore jeans. Give me a friggin' break. True, okay, true. Baby boomers, wake up.
Hey, take it easy on the baby boomers.
Oh, wow. I'm just saying, every generation says, I'm nonconformist, and then everybody uses an iPhone. Every generation says, I'm nonconformist, and everybody wears a pair of jeans.
We all start conforming to be nonconformist. But all I'm saying is fashion to the guys I grew up with was not something we ever thought about or talked about. What was very important to my father. I look at my son-in-law, who's in his 20s, very important to him. He's going to get his hair styled. He's going to get an old-fashioned barber again. All the stuff you guys are talking about. Talk about that seems to have come back in vogue and back in fashion again here.
Well,
we went through a transition from from the, let's say, realistically, the 80s, where everybody kind of, 80s, 90s, everybody dressed up. You know, you went wherever you went to any business, you'd see guys in suits, ties.
Every day.
I mean, IBM was like, you couldn't go, they were very boring, but they had a blue suit, white shirt, and a tie.
By the way, you still see that to a certain extent on, media, on channels. You'll watch it, and everybody's wearing a friggin',
But you can go to a restaurant, now a fine restaurant, without having to put a jacket on. There was a tie.
Or a shirt, or pants. Then you can just wear it's the thong. Leather thong, you're in.
Yeah. Right.
No, but it's changed so much, and so now it's transitioning back in, where people are just burnt out on the that casual style where everybody's wearing shorts and
the
t-shirts.
Sloppy look,
the sloppy look. And it really
the one I perfected.
Kind of the .com.
You are the master. You guys see, I knew you were the master or something.
I'm the master of the sloppy look.
What is the saying? Fashion is trendy or something like that. Style is forever.
Right.
So again, in order for you to have style, I would think that you need to know and be comfortable in who you are. In different phases of your life, you're going to change. But what is that, and how does that
reflect? I wouldn't know. I'm laughing. You said pick out your buttons or your lining. I wouldn't.
Well, we would do that.
Yeah, I would.
Well, yeah, no, you should not be allowed near lining.
But a lot of times, guys don't even know what they really, who they are.
Exactly.
I mean, so
or what the options are.
Let's say Paul comes in, God willing.
please, God.
I'm praying right
God.
Now. I'm going to handcuff you to me, and I'm going to drag you in the shop. It's so great to have a guy like, say, Paul comes in. He goes, I don't know anything about fashion. What's going on? What is my look? And it's really not, he didn't know what his look is.
No.
And so if I give him options and say, Paul, I think you'd look amazing in this, and I think you'd look amazing in that. I don't think that would be great for you. And give him options, say, hey, that would be something I would be interested in looking like, that look. So it's really a person. It's not like guys come in and they don't really know what they're looking for, who they are. You got to kind of find yourself in clothing.
And so the clothes to fit me, not me to fit the clothes.
Right.
Well, and what's unique about Bespoke, so I use this analogy often when people say, how are you guys different? If I were to walk into a John Varvatos store or a Giorgio Armani or a Tom Ford or whatever, all of those stores have a specific client in mind and a specific point of view. So all of their clothes are going to look a certain way.
Exactly.
John Varvatos is kind of the rock, hipster rock star guys, So what's different about Bespoke is that we really, like what Dan's talking about is we sit down with the client and really get to know them. Paul is obviously on the creative side. He's here doing media. Once we got to know him, a three-piece suit probably might not be the right thing for him. But maybe a really fun sport coat that kind of shows off his creativity. You could do a really cool custom lining that maybe brings in some of his lifestyle of doing radio shows or whatever's important to him. Maybe he's going to wear that over a pair of jeans and a really cool shoe, open collar because he's anti-conformist. He's not wearing a tie.
Absolutely.
So we can build clothes that really fit his brand, and that is going back to when you talk about branding, is you look at Rod, for an example, interior designer. The reason why I picked Watermelon is, which is kind of like
because he had extra fabric.
I threw a dart.
You had to get rid of it.
But, Rod's in, he's creative, and he is pushing the boundaries a little bit with
his
own
clients. And he's a little colorful.
And he's colorful.
He's a colorful guy. Lives a colorful life.
Exactly.
You refused to do a suit for me. We talked about a suit at the beginning of this year, and you're like, no.
I just don't think the suit's...
Yeah, he's like, no. I said, tie? He's like, no.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one more question, because we're running out of time. We got another show coming up in a few minutes here. But the other thing you talk a lot about, and Bart talks about when he's talked about you guys, Bart Zandbergen does the Zandbergen Report, financial wealth manager, great guy. Totally in love with what you guys are doing, totally into
what's all about.
The question is this. He wasn't really willing to trust you guys in the beginning. He wanted to tell you what he wanted. And it took a while for him to say, no, you give me a suggestion. Same way I go to a restaurant. And I say, no, I want this, I want this. I want my cappuccino this way, my steak cooked this way. I have a preconceived notion of what I want. It takes a while to trust the chef, to trust the artisan enough to say, I think I know you now. Let me suggest something.
Now, Paul, you're hit it right on the nose. I'm an artist. I'm not just a clothier. I'm an artist. You're my canvas.
I think you're Mel Blanc, a man of a thousand voices here, right?
Stop already.
You do bring up a very good point, Paul, and I think this goes across all kinds of things. And it may be a reflection of where we are today as a society, and maybe it answers your question, okay? You got to be at a point where you're comfortable with yourself enough to let go of the edge of the pool.
Yeah.
Okay. People, in my experience, people that are can tell you all day long that they are open to receive, that they are willing to take risks, all this stuff. But in many cases, 90% of those, and those who are holding, I'm telling you, the loudest are the ones that tend to hold onto the edge of the pool the most.
Bingo.
Okay. Yeah, right. It takes courage, okay, to let go of that edge of the pool. To not know where to let go of the line, basically, and cast away and not know where your ship is going to go and actually be open to receive. You got to be the kind of person to do that. And when it comes to how you reflect yourself out to the society, you can't do that, truthfully, if you haven't taken the time to really come to terms with who you are, the good, the bad, the evil, whatever. And your clothes reflect that. I mean,
so I got to go to therapy for a few years before I can see these guys and figure it out.
No, you don't. You don't.
Just this Friday.
Just Fridays.
Well, Rod, really quickly, I'll tell you a really cool story. I'm sure Dan's got a great story.
And then we got to wrap it up because you got another show.
I thought you said I got 2 hours. Hey,
That's the next time.
I had a client very similar where he says, hey, here's the couple suits that I want. And here's the shirts that I want. And I said, hey, can you give me a wild card to pick out 2 shirts on my own? And like them or not, I'm going to make them up for you. And I said, if you don't like them, I'll remake them for you. And so the clothes came in. I remember this like it was yesterday. He had a light gray suit on. I made him a mint green shirt.
Ooh.
When I showed him the shirt, he goes, I'm absolutely never going to wear that. And I said, okay. All I ask is you wear it twice. And if you don't get any compliments on it, I'll remake you a shirt in your boring white and your blue shirt, whatever you want. I'll remake it for
nice
you.
Nice little slide,
right?
On the boring.
Like that? It was kind of boring. So anyway, he called me 11:00 the next day, mad as hell. But he already received 3 compliments. The girl, a guy coming out of Starbucks, the girl at Starbucks, and his assistant said, "Oh my God, that's an amazing."
His mother, daughter, and his
before we call it off because we're almost out of time. What's next for Bespoke?
Well, we always have something on the calendar. Right now, myself and the team are putting together a really cool event, which is going to start in the first week of September.
September
10th, exactly. Okay.
And that'll be at the location.
At
the clubhouse.
And we're kind of doing our anniversary of our 4th year anniversary is coming up next month. We opened Bespoke. And we want to celebrate it and kind of share the celebration with our clients and our friends and what have you. So we're doing a big event. It's a promo sale. And we're going to be offering some great stuff at reduced pricing, normally, 30% more than what they are now. And we're going to offer some eats and drinks, and again, I'll do some square dancing or tap dancing. Whatever
so
you want to do.
Always a great time. I don't know about the square dancing, but it's always a great time at the clubhouse. And then I do also know that I don't know if it's still going on or not, but there is a hashtag. There's an Instagram competition going on right now. Care of Bespoke with the help of GigaSavvy that does their marketing and promotion, and it's called. I think the hashtag is Bespoke Summer.
Mm-hmm.
That basically is the giveaway is a T-shirt, a Bespoke T-shirt. Awesome T-shirt. Love it. It's the nicest cotton.
And if you want to appeal to my old hippie generation, just say the word hash. And you've heard
hash. No, what are you talking about, okay, man?
So before I was rudely interrupted, okay. So the competition is you basically post your summer look, and they're doing, I think, a weekly giveaway or every other week or something like that of the T-shirt, and you got to hashtag it, hashtag Bespoke Summer, and that's Bespoke Summer. Also, I know you're looking at possibly other locations, so that's kind of in the works. If you get a chance to come by, check out the website again, bespokestyle.com, without the E after the B, so bespokestyle.com. Check out their calendar of activities. Dan was talking about the open house. It's going to be awesome. as always. And
don't forget about the ladies. We are working on a women's collection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was trying to tee it up.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
You jump in. No, you jump in.
Dave made a mistake. Yeah.
Well, as long as I've known Dave, he's been kind of trying to play with this, and I think it's just a matter of the right fit and the right timing. To your point, the timing is everything.
Well, we've done a lot of beta testing, and we feel pretty good. I know Dan's made some great outfits for the ladies, and so, but we want to be able to roll something out. Something a little bit more official.
And then you are working, I think, on some offering through the website too, right? Like on an e-commerce situation where you might have some stuff
to our own clients that we've already perfected their patterns and just kind of like a little ability for people to update their wardrobes.
So that's a perfect lead-in to say, go check them out, become a regular client, because then you also have the ability to maybe buy stuff online.
Mm-hmm. Can I add one thing? I know we're wrapping it up, and I'm only get paid an hour. I was supposed to get two. But anyway,
I'm getting old.
Hey, Paul, where do I get pick up the check?
Talk to you later.
Talk to you about it later. What was I going to say?
I don't know.
He insisted we stop and listen to him, and he has nothing to say.
This show is brought to you by Memory Pills.
I don't know if I am. As a temple, I'm 5 minutes.
You know, we'll leave that as a teaser to the next show. The next time you come back, you can remember and share with us.
It's coming back. Give me a week.
No. Okay. I wanted to, in addition to what we were talking about as far as the event that we're doing here coming up in September, is that I'm offering...
10 seconds.
Wardrobings to my gentlemen to go to their closets, to their homes, revamp their wardrobe, see what they need, what they need to get rid of, size them, and do all that. So that's going to be part of my event.
There you go.
So I got you guys know that. I got you coming over next week then. Yeah.
And it's free of charge. Charge you free. How does that work?
You're free to come back and tell more, but we're out of time.
Paul, by the way. You got a great face for radio. I'm not kidding. You are a beautiful man.
Thanks guys, thanks, for Paul. Being here. Thanks to Godfather and the Consigliere and Paul.
Thank you.
And join us next week for another show of The Rad Life. Meanwhile, go check out BespokeStyle.com. You can't go wrong.
You have been listening to The Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.